It would start the on Pei Vav Medalos, but just remind yourselves at the bottom of Pei Hei Amud Bet, we had the question of Rabba. Rabba queried about Shevet Hapok Chasadil B'damim Mahu. What happens if there's some sort of temporary loss in value of the individual, and there is unemployment or disability that's associated with that temporary diminishment in value? What's the din? Do we just pay Shevet, or do you also have to pay some form of Nezek? The Gemara wants to bring a proof from the Braisa that we quoted, which is a Makea Vivimo, Balasa Ben Chabura. Person who hits his parents and does not do a Chabura in them, which would cause him to be Chayab Mita, so then there would be no monetary compensation. And a Chovel B'Chamreo B'Yom HaKippurim, as opposed to Shabbos. Shabbos would be Kimlei the Rabbi Minei, but Yom Kippur is only a Chiv Karev. So, therefore, you still are Chayab B'Kulan. Kulan meaning all five of the items mentioned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know what's the case in the Braisa. So the Gemara traded a number of issues. One is maybe Chikawa Yado, but so for Lachsor. The first attempt of the Gemara is that he's sitting on a hand where it was only temporary damage or temporary injury that will cure itself. Then we would have an answer to our question, because then you're Chayav B'Kulan. So the Gemara says, even in the faces of temporary damage, you would be Chayav in all of them. The Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The case here is where he deafens him. So if he deafens him, there is no chabura, and that's why he's chayav for the chamisha dvarim. Where it says, well, deafening him is not a good example, because deafening always has a din in chabura. Now we have a principle that Rabbah establishes that anybody who causes deafening also has a chabura. If you have a chabura already, then you're chayav mitzah, right, when it comes to aviv v'imo, and you can't be chayav in kulan. The last thing, for the last attempt, we made was that he shaved them, right? So if he says, if we shave him, then once you shave the body of the parent or the individual, then that hair grows back. The Gemara says, well, then that's exactly what the case of Rabba is. And then you have a great proof of the Rabba, and we're trying to show that this Braisa is not the same case as Rabba, and we can't bring any proof from it. Now, the Gemara is up to Imri. Hako b'maya skinan, right? After we try Kigon Shkilchu, Kilchu Mahader Adar, comes back.
Why is it going to show the Braisa that this case is not the same?
Right, so we want to show that the fact that Rabba questioned means likely that there wasn't a braisa that swayed him in either direction. So the fact there is a braisa, the Gemara wants to show that it doesn't force us to learn one way or the other. Right now, so I know by the Amrei, how come I speak?
That is funny, because if you would have proved the opposite, you said there was a proof.
Right.
You're
saying that Rabbi should.
We're
trying
to show
that. No, we're just trying to show. Rabbi shouldn't have asked as a question. Rabbi
right.
Should have said.
This is the din based on the price. Right. He could have made a statement instead of a question. The fact that he made it as a question shows that he doesn't feel that there's evidence in either direction. Right now, not that he has to know every price, though, but the Gemara is trying to assume that we don't have something that's obvious as evidence towards that. Now, as Mark says, how come I skinan? What are we talking about here? Kigon shesachu. Probably, I don't know, nashah. Put on him a debilatory. The lo hadar, so that doesn't come back. So you put a depilatory on him, then that is permanent damage, because he's removed his hair permanently. So now what are the cases? Tsar, what's the tsar? You need, if you have chamisha dvarim. So obviously Nezek's clear that he did some of the damage, he removed all his hair. Now the question is, tsar, how does he have shard? The itlei kartafune bereshe. Betavche mahanu kartafune. It creates, the depilatory creates either some, the way Rashi describes it, crevices, or scarring, or I don't know if the follicles of the hair, it leaves some sort of damage at that point. And that, whatever that damage is, or whatever those bikaim, those crevices in the head, are painful. And he will scream, or they leave him with a tremendous amount of pain. So there we have the tsar aspect of it. Ripoy, the bite.
You really feel like you're scoring on the head, and
Right.
And it's like you put an astringent that burns on
an already existing, right? Possibly, although it sounds like it's caused by him here, that it actually causes the actual damage, because we'll see in a second. Ripoy, the vayas ruyas, because he has to cure it. So it sounds like the depilatory itself is what caused the damage, that he has to go ahead and now get medical attention for the damage that the depilatory did. Shevet, which is an interesting thing, what about his unemployment disability? He can still do anything he did before. Why should the lack of hair interrupt his ability to be active or productive in the sense of employment? So Mara says, well, it depends what your job is. The Havi Merakeh Bekoveh. He was the shop dancer. He used to go from shop to shop providing the entertainment. Right? Divai Mechave Gunei Resha. Right? So he had to move his body, right, with his head or with his body, he had to just move it around. And by having to move around, he makes people laugh or does some sort of funny indications through the movements of his head or his body. And because of that, right, now he can't lo mechave mahanhu kartufani. So now he can't show them his head, or he can't lean his head over because of the pain of the scabs or the crevices and the astringents that he's used that is hurting his head. Because of that, he can't bend over properly, or he can't shake his head nicely. Whatever it is, it's now somehow preventing him from doing the job he was doing before. Boshet is obviously in the chaboshet gadol mizeh. Right, the fact that he's taken off all his hair. Right, that is, and there's no more boshes than that. So the Gemara concludes that the Braith is talking about that instance where he uses the filatory to remove all the hair. And so because of that, it's not a proof either way for Rabba's case, because we're talking about permanent damage. So this does not return. It doesn't return, and the Gemara just went through why you have Chamishad Devarim in this instance. What are the Chamishad Devarim that come out of a depilatory? So the Gemara says, Umiltu de Bayale de Rabba, this, which was a question or a query for Rabba, she delayed the Bay the half pizza or the Rova the half pizza. Right? It was pushed to a Bay and Rova, but in opposite directions. They both concluded, but they concluded in the opposite directions. What's that? Dietmar, he called Yadov with some ta. Right? He hits it on the hand and it somehow locked up or shriveled. Vistovalak Zor, in the end it's going to come back to its normal function. A Bay Amar, no same no Shevet Gidola, Vishevet Kitana. Right? So you take Shevet Gidola, which he calls, Rashi calls Dime Yadov. Right, nezek. Right, this is what seems to be the value of his hand. The shevet tana is the short-term disability. As long as he is on his bed, he can't do anything. Right, so the main nezek, we look at his loss of function from a fully functioning hand until the point of being a shomer shuim, or right, a shomer petach, to some lower form of labor. That's the main nezek. That's shevet gedola, which I would classify as long-term disability, loosely, right? And then you have short-term disability, which that even right now he can't do anything at all. I mean, not even a lower form of work, but he can do nothing at all. And that's the Shevet Tana. But Rava says no, right? Eino notein lo elo demei shifto shibachol yom vayom. So Rava says he only pays him for the day-to-day loss of employment. But the day-to-day loss of employment, as Rashi points out, is his as a poel. I mean, as his regular work. I mean, because Rava believes that you don't separate between the nezek and which is like the long-term disability, and the shevet, which is the short-term disability, rather, which one item, which is, he's now currently unemployed, and his current unemployment is because he can't function like he did before. So you pay him daily for the lack of function. Now, truthfully, based on what we said in Tosfos yesterday, I'm not so sure, right, there's a big difference between Abaye and Rava over here. I mean, Abaye basically breaks down into component parts, right, the loss of function in the hand. One loss of function is the long-term loss of function in the hand, which is really the present value of your ability to work beyond a shomer kshuim, right? Anything you could do before, above and beyond being a shomer kshuim, this is a long-term, you know, disability that you caused. That's the lowering or diminishment in value that you did. Then there's the second problem, which is your current unemployment because you're on the bed, and that's a much smaller amount. That's from shomer kshuim, what you could have done now. And the lack of that. Rava says, no, we now take away your
everything.
What you could have done, what you could have worked. Now, the only difference could be, which is that Rava says it's shibakol yom vayom, and that you do it on a daily basis. You don't look at the future value of your lack of ability to work in your normal employment, but rather we look at it day to day. As long as you're unable to do it. We don't look at the future value of that and like as if you can't do it anymore. Whereas Baya is suggesting that there is a long-term issue here, and we value it as if forever you're going to be unable to use your hand. And that would be the solution to Rabba's problem, right? Rabba said, do we have nezek or not in the face of temporary shevet? So Baya is saying, yes, we look at the long-term disability, the long-term issues. And Rabba says, no, then we look at the day-to-day damage that's done here. We don't look beyond the point at which it will return, because we assume it's going to return, and therefore we don't let you charge to him the value of your hand over a long duration.
We have this in Gittin, isn't it, right? By just not quite this way, but and there was a case that, like, Rova's principle was based, I don't remember what it was, but Rova's principle was based on how he said, like, we only apply based on the post-it, a certain.
Remember, the puzzle. Mark's going to bring up, right, in a second about
there was a exact same case that they brought here.
Okay.
And they didn't say Mahatid Abai Rabbah. When they asked, when Bai Rabba says, hey, Kigoshikawasafarahdomai. And they didn't say, okay, here we have a writer or whatever, we have a source, Mahakita Rabbah.
Well, the Gemara said hey Kidomi, right? That's not Rabbah's statement. Rabbah's statement is just a general statement. The Gemara tried to work with Rabba first.
The first master, instead of reading the
Machloket. The why? They much rather have a Bryson than a Bayan Rabba be the proof which way you go with Rabba. That's a much better source. Alright, now the Gemara says, like Shaul is suggesting here that Hesla has to do with Eved. Right? So, Itmar Akote Yad Eved Ivri, someone who cuts off the friend or maims the Eved Ivri of his friend. Here's permanent damage. He cut off his arm, Shal Chaviro. Abaya Marlo, no tame lo Shevet Gdola the Eved. V'shevet k'netana l'rav. Right, so the point, or the Eved Ivri, right, has really two stages, which is that there's the point at which he is an Eved Ivri before he goes free, right, in the first 6 years, 7 years that he's working for the Adon, or before the Yovel, whatever the duration of his being an Eved Ivri is. There, his output, not that he's no kinyan aguf, but his output belongs, his employment, or his ability to work, belongs to the Adon. Then there's a long term, once he's free, then all the value comes back to him. So there's a long term issue, which is that the long term value of his hand, or lack of function now of his hand, belongs to him. That's exactly what Bayu does, and Bayu splits between the two. Bayu says, when it comes to the Shevet Gidolah, when it comes to the long term disability, or the nezek that you're imposing on this, the lack of function of the Eved, that is, belongs to the Eved himself, because that's something that's going to be permanently with him, and once he's free, that belongs to him. Now, Shevet Kana is his temporary unemployment, his short-term disability, which is his inability now to function and provide output for the Adon, that belongs to the Adon. The problem is that before he was functioning for the Adon at a much higher level. We have a Shevet Kana, according to Abai, that's only a Shomer Kshuim. Say before, this Eved was performing much higher functions for the Adon, and now he's providing just a Shomer Kshuim, that's all he's getting paid out for. So Tosfos says on that, that's only because it's called Nitzachasadeu. That's your bad luck. I mean, your bad luck is that your Eved went from being a fully functioning Eved to a Eved only can do Shomer Kshuim. That is the bad luck of the owner. The fact that, well, now, once he can be a Shomer Kshuim, that does belong to me, because he still is my Eved, and that output does belong to me. But that differential between what he was functioning before and now, that's bad luck. Now, Robo Amar, Akol Inatein, the Eved, everything should be given to the Eved. Once you know Tosfos wipes out the spirit and tie, says Akol Yinatein LaRav. Says, how could you ever say Akol Yinatein LaEved? Shevet Kana clearly belongs to the Rav. I mean, even according to Rava, you have to agree that the output of the Eved currently belongs to the Rav. How could you ever suggest that it belongs to the Eved? So Tosfos and the Rav changed the Girsa to read Akol Yinatein LaRav. Everything is given to the owner. Vila Kef Vehen Karka. So how do we protect the Eved Ivri? If you're giving everything to the Adon, truth is the Eved Ivri is going to be freed in the future. So there should be some value that belongs to the Eved Ivri. So he says, what? He's telling us, Akol Yitam LaRav, V'yilakach V'hem Karka. He'll buy land with it. V'arav Ochel Perot. Because now you've simulated basically what the Eved was before. Before the Eved, the Adon had no kinyan of goof in the Eved. Right? All he entitled to was his output. Right, it's Masa Yadav. So I do the same thing, is I create something in principle, not principle with a AL, meaning principle of karka, and that karka will revert belong to the Eved in the end. In the end, it'll belong to the Eved. In the interim, the payroll will belong to the Rav. Now there is a difference, because here, if you call it Rav Amar, Kol Yinatein LaEved, it's all the money. That means the Shevet Gdolah, Shevet Ktana, everything belongs to the, and then you'd be like, Kach Ben Karka, Marava Kol Perot, right? As opposed to here, where it all goes to the Rav.
Who buys the land?
All the money goes into the purchasing of the land,
yeah.
And the other is getting another land, the Rav's going to the Perot. I don't see how and besides, it could be that the Perot, according to Rav Rashi's here, so maybe the value of the Perot was more than the, than being a
Shomer Kishuim. Right, but here, I just read to you, I call the Rav, Garcina, and Shevet Ktana, I call the Atmo. The Shevet Ktana belongs to the Rav, and he doesn't have to disgorge that at all. So the short-term disability belongs to him. Then, Shevet Gedola, he buys the Karka with, alright, and then he gets the payroll out of the Karka, because that's basically the output versus the Karka. So there is a difference between them, because according to Rashi, he gives the Akola Eved, being the son of Eved, that means the Shevet Ktana belongs to the Eved, And so that'll be the differential between them. The difference between Rashi and Tosfos is here says the Shevet Tana, the temporary, the short-term disability. Who does it belong to? According to Rashi, that belongs to the Eved, or the Gears that we have is the Eved. And according to Tosfos, that belongs to the Rav. And he says, why shouldn't it belong to the Rav? He says he doesn't understand Rashi's Gears. How have you ever come up that it should belong to the Eved? The short-term disability clearly belongs to the Rav. Clearly belongs to the owner. They both agree, the Shevet Gedolah, that you buy Karka. The Karka belongs to the Eved, and the Rav gets the payroll to the Eved. So there will be a difference between them in terms of Shevet Tana.
He's basically getting compensated
as if he had a fully functioning Eved, which is what he had prior to this. He had a fully functioning Eved. The diminishment in value, right?
Right. So that's the problem. Then you know to say that that principle gets put away for the Eved.
Right, that's what we were saying. But that even Tosfos agrees that the principle gets put away for the Eved.
No, but Tosfos agrees that all the principle gets put away.
The Shevet Tana
goes
to the Rav. Yeah, but according to Rashi, the Shevet Tana goes right to the Eved, and the Rav gets no part of that at all.
But that, though, he does get it because he gets through the payments of the payers.
Yeah, but the payers are much, no, because that's the karka of the Shevet Gedolah. That's only his long-term disability.
But the way I understand Rashi's gears, everything goes into purchasing the karka.
No, just the Shevet Tana goes directly to the Eved, and the Shevet Gedolah goes into the land. Just saying, I'm assuming that if he's doing according to the Eved, so everything goes to the Eved, the Kach Ben Karka, I assume it's only the long-term disability. Why should they? So then he's not getting, but the short-term disability should be really principle-wise should belong to the Adon, not even just the payroll, the whole thing should belong to the, because that's the output. Output is what he owns. He owns the output. Why should they ever get any part of the output, of the short-term output?
He's not.
He is, because by buying the Karka, the Eved is getting it back, the short-term output in the end. You're taking the value of the short-term output and buying Karka with it.
No,
now you're getting a percentage of that as payroll. Whatever the value of your Shevet Tana is, now you're buying land, and then that output will be a percentage of that land. So that means it's going to be less than the true output that he owned over that period of time.
Just a few lines,
No, that's only by temporary. This is a different case because it's permanent damage versus temporary damage. You can't compare the cases. Even Rav agrees over here that there's Shevet Gedolah and Shevet Tana, like every case, normal case of Nezek. This is a normal case of Nezek, and everybody will agree that there's Shevet Gedolah and Shevet Tana here. Alright, Shita, Gorim Arthas, Shita, Bichay Beit Latmo, if he, the Eved lost value, I mean for himself he lost value, Beit Rabba lo Bichay, and for his owner he lost no value, okay, because what's the case that he lost value for himself and did not lose value for his owner? The mitzvah the reish onay, he lost the tip of his ear, he chopped off the top the tip of his ear, or the reish nichirei, or he chopped off the tip of his nose. So in terms of function, the Eved is functioning like he did before. It's for the Adon, there's no loss here. For the Eved, there is a loss because he has disfigurement that is going to be there forever. So I call the Atmo. There it's clear that everything belongs to the Eved, because there's no diminishment in his function that should really belong to the Rav. Everything goes to the Eved. Everything goes to the Eved. There's nothing to buy. Everything goes to the Eved.
Well, how does it go to the Eved?
Everything, you just pay him. You pay the Eved. He's an Eved Ivri. He has a full ownership. He can take ownership of things. He gets it. Pichay says the Rabbo. But on the other hand, if he has diminished value or function for his owner, Pukto da Abaye v'Rabbo. There it is, a Machlokas Abaye v'Rabbo. That's what we're talking about, the Machlokas v'Rabbo. Abaye v'Rabbo is when you have a diminishment in function to the master. How exactly do you divide up the payments to the Eved Ivri versus the Adon? What belongs to the Adon? What belongs to the Eved Ivri? And the basic, what seems to be the basic question that's going to come up over here is this Shevet Tana versus Shevet Gedolah. This is according to Tosafot, right? First of all, it says that the Shevet Tana goes to the Rav, and the Shevet Gedolah, right, goes to, it goes into buying Karka, and then the Adon gets a Chelik in it. Whereas the Bayit says that he gives him Shevet Gedolah vis Shevet Kitana, meaning that he pays him, right, everything, right, that he pays him all the value will go to the Eved, I mean at least the Shevet Gedolah goes to the Eved, which is the long-term problem, and the Shevet Tana will go to the Rav, And we say nitzafas sadeu, that he loses out, that it was bad luck. So it really turns out to be the difference. So the nafka mina between Abaye and Rava is whether we say it's bad luck or not. I mean, his diminishment in function, I mean, now he becomes a functioning as a shomer kishuim. Now he's a functioning as a shomer kishuim. Is that what the Adon is entitled to? Or is the Adon entitled to that plus what would have been his previous functioning level? So Abaye says, right, nitzafas sadeu, bad luck. Your Eved just went down, he lost some amount of function, and then all you get is the Shomer Kshuyim value. That's all you get. On the other hand, Rabbi says, no, he gets the Shomer Kshuyim value, at least according to Tosfos, the Rav gets that, plus he gets the output from the Shevet Gdolah, which means basically we're taking him back to full function, and saying that now you had a full function in Eved, now I gotta compensate you as if there was a full function in Eved. And that's really what would be the difference, it seems to me, between Abaye and Rabbi's positions here, is whether you look at the Eved as a Shomer Kshuyim, now that's all the Rav is entitled to, that's Abaye's position, or Rabbi's position is whether they look at him as bad luck. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, not that's the Abaye's position. Rabbi says, no, I had a fully functioning Eved, I get compensated until the time he leaves, I get compensated like a fully functioning Eved. How do I do that? I get Shevet Kedanah, plus I get the payroll from Shevet Kedolah. That basically gets me back to what I had before, an output of a fully functioning Eved. All right, now, Boshet, this is the last thing in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah's up to the fifth item, Boshet. Akol afili hamivayesh va'mitbayesh. Mani Matnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbi Yehuda. Can't be Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yehuda. Lo Rabbi Shimon. He must be Rabbi Shimon. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Rechlo is really bright. Says Tanya. V'chulan roi noto kilem b'nei chorin. Right. We all look at them as if they are free people. She'adum nifsan. That went down in their, you know, lost some value. Things went bad for them. She'en b'nei Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Give Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says basically everyone is on the same level. It's a one shot deal. Everybody, when you mivayesh someone. Everybody is B'nai Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. There's such a concept in the Mishnah and Shabbos. Mishnah and Shabbos talks about certain clothes that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. And then the Gemara talks about certain things that only B'nai Malachim wear. Right. So that only princes wear. And as David is quoting correctly, the Mishnah over there, right, as a position, I think it's Rabbi Kiva's position, or I can't remember which Tana's position is over here, that he calls yourself B'nai Malachim. And even if you're not a prince, we're all like princes. Right, everybody gets to say Kriyat Shema at the Zman that the king gets up. but anyway, we have this idea, according to Rabbi Meir, that there's a level playing field when it comes to Biyush, but even Vayesh Bilmon, that cost of Boshet is level. Gemara has said that by depilatories also for doing softening the hair, that only did the Bnei Ayinim use Sid, and then the Bnei Ashirim use oil, right? And so the Gemara says, no, but also call yourself an Otsma Lachim, right? The same thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hagadol lefi Godlo, Vakatam lefi Kotno. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the big one according to the big, and the small one according to the small. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashirim, Ruim Atam ki Yilu Heim Bnei Chorin. All rich people go into one category of free men, she'adum nechseyem, that went down in their value, meaning that they were once rich and they lost some of that value. Aniyim kipchutim shemen, and the aniyim, we look at the lowest strata of aniyim. So, Rabbi Shimon says it's a binary option. Right? All ashirim are classified in one category, which is, who once was an ashir and lost that status. And the aniyim are all classified into one category, which is the lowest form of aniyim, but that's it, it's just binary. Now, Rabbi Huda's statement, which sounds most like our mission right now, right, the Gemara is going to have to interpret what does that mean. So, Mani, who is the author of Mishnah? Rabbi Meir, Matnitzan, Taniyah, Kol, Fiyam, Vayesh, Vamitvayesh. Rabbi Meir, Kuhu, Vahadi, Adadin, and according to Rabbi Meir, it's a uniform solution for Boshet, so he can't be the author of Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Matnitzan, Tani, right, our Mishnah, right, Hamivayesh, et Hatsum'ah, Chayav. Someone who embarrasses a Sum'ah is Chayav. Ve'ilu, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Sum'ah, in lo Boshet. Right, so the Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see in the Mishnah coming up from the next Talmud, the Rabbi Yehuda believes that a Suma who does not have Boshet, meaning that the person is Mayesh, the Suma is Patur. Elav, Rabbi Shimoni!
I was understanding, when we're talking about the source, this is the right, not the next Mishnah.
Right, yeah, but the next Mishnah is a continuation of the first Mishnah. Just talk about Boshet, and it continues.
Which is the Gemara. If you look according to this right there.
Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda looks very good, right?
Yeah.
Right, I agree with you.
Since the next one qualifies,
right. we know that he can't be the author of this Mishnah, because the Gemara flipped the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is really a flowing Mishnah, which is they have Boshet, and then it flows in, the next one is Boshet. Right, El Alav Rabbi Shimonhi. Gemara says, Afilu Tem Rabbi Yehuda, Ki Kamei Rabbi Yehuda Sumei Lo Boshet, the Mishkal Minei. That is what to take from him. You do not have a boshet. No, but you do pay him boshet. When Rabbi Yehuda says that a sumas potter me boshet, that means that a sumas potter from paying boshet. But that's not that he's entitled to receive it. And when the Mishnah says that you're chayav and mevayesh the sumah chayav, means that if you embarrass the sumah, you're chayav to compensate the sumah for the embarrassment that he undergoes. So the sumah can be embarrassed and can collect on that. But if he embarrasses others, then he's not chayav. I assume that part of this has to do with the fact that biush or being mevayesh requires kavanah. And the underlying assumption according to the Yehuda is that we're going to see that he has a zeir to kadov, he has a sukin, but that a sumah doesn't have kavanah because the sumah can't see what he's doing, he can't direct what he's doing. So if he can't direct what he's doing, then he is not going to be chayav for the bullshit that he creates, right? Because it's not it's premeditated.
It's psychologically wrong, right? Like in help desk, right? There people are much more abusive to support people over the phone than people
who come
to, technicians
come
to work
directly. If
they don't see them,
somehow
they're
killed removed
from it.
Right. You know, that's the same personal aspect of it. Alright. So this is the safer, right? One who embarrasses someone sleeping, chayav. V'yashen shevayesh. But a person who is sleeping, who? Mevayesh someone else is put to work. Right, so now we see a differential. In the mission itself, we differentiate between someone receiving embarrassment versus dishing out embarrassment. Velo tani suma should be yesh patur, and it does not include, if they wanted to make such a distinction, it should have included both the yashen and the suma together. Hechlal velo shna. Right, it sounds like by suma there's no difference. Velo shna achi. Velo shna achi. Doesn't matter either way. Rabbi Yehuda believes you're patur, and the Mishnah believes you're chayav. Elam ha-chavartam, asintan Rabbi Shimon. Hey, makes sense. Rabbi Shimon is the author of our Mishnah. Now Gemara says, Ma Tano, the Hanu Tano Rabbanan. Who is the Tano of this bright or this position? Right? That says, Nitzkav in the Vayeshet HaKatan. Someone intended to embarrass a Katan. Right now we don't know what a Katan is. Ubiyeshet HaGadol. And then embarrass him a Gadol. Then he's notating the Gadol as the Mepo Shkosho Katan. He takes the Gadol as if he was the Katan that he intended to embarrass. Right? The Vayeshet HaEved, Ubiyeshet Ben Chorim, intended to embarrass an Eved Knani here. Ubiyeshet ben chorim, instead he got a regular person. But then the ben chorim, the maple social evidence. And whatever he was intending to do, in terms of embarrassing the evidence, that will be the compensation he gives to the ben chorim. Mani, who's you offer this? Velo Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbi Yehuda, velo Rabbi Shimon. None of them, right? Who has such a position that the intent will make a difference in terms of diminishing the true ubiyush that you're doing? None of the evidence. Kasakadakho, we thought at this point, katan minechasim. Gadol minechasim. The way we're going to read this statement is that a katan means someone who does not have a lot of possessions, and gadol is someone who has a lot of possessions. So he, Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir, Amar Kulu Ba'adei Adadi Ninu. So Rabbi Meir obviously can't be the author of the Mishnah, because he says there's one b'skira achat. Everybody gets the same level of biyush. So if we have a differential between a katan and a gadol, rich and poor, there is no such differential for Rabbi Meir. Be Rabbi Yehuda Amar in Lavadim Boshet. Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author of this, because he believes that an Evid Kanani does not have Boshet. Someone who intends to embarrass one person and ends up embarrassing another is patur. Rabbi Shimon, yes. Shimon, the shidato b'chol shas that you need the davar shiskaven, right? That if they're not shiskaven for something, you are patur. We've seen this over and over again. My time, I'll listen to the reason of this. Kiktala, it's like killing. Maktala adam shiskaven le, just like tala when you talk about death penalty until he intends to. Dichtiv. Barablo become alive. Achis kavim lo already traps him, and guess it has to be premeditated. It has to be intentional. Until you do that, then you're chayvita. Boshet nami adam kavim lo. Boshet also has to be that you specifically intend for him. Dichtiv vishocha yadav et bikav
b'mishav.
Right. He's
premeditated. He got it from someone he was intending to.
Right. That he's right, premeditated intention of, and he gets the person he's intending. Is a kamalav, because Arablo, he waited for this person and become alive, and he killed him. Also, he has a shokha yadav, he's become a mushav. She's trying to protect her husband, she goes and grabs the private parts of the adversary over here. So, there are mushav. She intends for mushav, achi kavein, right? Lo. So, you see that both shit and talah both have this requirement that she must intend for the victim in order to be chayav, according to Rabbi Shimon in both these instances. Again, Rabbi Shimon, she's a tal, Rabbi Shimon, by Yochai, that you have to have kavanah, achi kavein. In all instances, Rav Shemes Kavein is patur throughout Shas, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's interesting here, right, as Tosfos pointed out, and it seems from Rashi also, is that, truthfully, if you had looked at the drash, right, of this, which we say before, that the Vayesh someone is as if you killed them, right? Then did you really need a pasuk for being mivayesh? Because once you have a pasuk for killing, right, and then you say, well, mivayesh someone is killing, then right, the din of kavanah should be the same. So the pasuk in the Gemara here is that there's no equation between them. It's just showing you, just like by killing, we have a pasuk that teaches you that you must have premeditation and intent. There's no such thing as transfer of intent. So too by biyush, we have a pasuk that teaches us there's no transfer intent, and you must intend and successfully reach your victim. Although, instead of drush, you could say that there's a comparison, that there's a parallel between, right, mivayesh and, right, being mivayesh and tala. It would have been nice. I mean, it doesn't fit into the pashut flow of the Gemara, but again, the fact that the Gemara brings those two as examples of no transfer of intent shows you that some sort of equation between killing and being mivayesh someone, right, that transfer of intent doesn't work in there. So Gemara says, okay, who's the author of this statement? No, Rabbi Yehuda. It has to be Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean there's no avadim and a boshet? That's the mitzvah. That's to give them boshet. But we can assess them. They don't get boshet because they're not b'nei boshet. But on the other hand, we could assess based on them what the boshet is. Right? Meaning that how much would this ever be willing to accept as payment, right, to be embarrassed? Right? That, not that he's qualified to receive boshet payment, but that if we ask them, listen, are you willing to undergo this embarrassment? How much would it be worth it to you to go undergo this embarrassment? So we can set the value to it, although we can't, right, you won't get it. That's what it means. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get the bullshit, but we can still set how much that bullshit is worth, and that amount or value will pay to the Ben Chori. Now, Vibai, Tema, Pilu, Tema, Rabbi Meir, the author could be Rabbi Meir, Mitrat, Gadol, Gadol, Menechasim, Katan, Katan, Nechasim, who says that Gadol, Katan means rich and poor. Well, Gadol, Gadol, Mash, maybe it means someone over the age of Bar Mitzvah. Katan is a minor, Katan, Mamash is a minor. Where it says, Katan, Bar Boshet, too? Since when is a Katan a Bar Boshet? In Kadamara of Buffalo, which is going to come up later on the Yom today, the Mikhlumule Umichlam. That if you remind them of an embarrassing event, they will be embarrassed. They will find themselves, right? They will find discomfort if you remind them about something embarrassing that happened to them.
One second. So when
you're
older, you remind them something that he did when he was small.
It doesn't seem low. You see that a child faces discomfort, that even though technically katanim are not supposedly bar boshet, and we're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to differentiate. I'll leave it until we get to the statement of Rav Papa. We'll see that he differentiates exactly along these lines. That if you have to test. Is a katana bar boshet? It depends on whether when you remind them of an embarrassing event, is he embarrassed by that?
The age of the child,
right, will make a difference here, and that's how this is the test. So this is the crossover. This will be the fine line about which the katana is considered a bar boshet. So we see there is part or katana can be a bar boshet. If that's the case, then a katana is a minor, and he ends up embarrassing a gadol. So he pays the gadol the value of the minor, that boshet of the minor. So again, then there's a street skirachat. Again, there's one thing where Meir could be the author of the Mishnah because everybody gets the same bullshit. Okay, next, this is the Mishnah. Someone embarrasses someone who's naked. Someone embarrasses a sumah. Someone embarrasses someone who's sleeping. Chayab. You are chayab in all these cases. That's why Rabbi Yehuda couldn't be the author of our Mishnah. Right, we just said before. Someone who's sleeping and embarrasses others is patur, because obviously there's lack of intent here. Because right, he's sleeping, he can't be intending to embarrass. Now, following a god, this is a case that we brought earlier. Following a god, behizik, and he damaged ubiyesh, and he embarrassed chayav ala nezek upatur ala boshet. He's chayav on the nezek, but he's put on the boshet because obviously he did not intend to embarrass this person if he fell off a roof, right? Ashi mitkavein. Now we learned earlier in the text that mitkavein does not mean to mean mitkavein to the boshet. He has to mean mitkavein to the nezek. So if he does a flip, if you remember that earlier on, if he does a flip and lands on the person by doing the flip, then he's also chayav the boshet, because he's mitzkadim for the nezek, he's also mitzkadim, automatically, there's a mitzkadim for the boshet. As long as you intend for the nezek, that brings along boshet. Right, that is correct. That we saw earlier in the Gemara. Remember that Adam Mo'ad Olam only applies to the nezek. What?
How do we know that this is Rabbi Yehuda?
How do we know? We're going to see in a second. Tara Banan. Baishu Arum Chayav. Right, we know it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that a mivayesh is patur.
If it would have been Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah should have written it not only mivayesh et ha-sumah, it should have also written a mivayesh et ha-what
was it? No, it is sumah. It should have joined it with Yashen. It should also say sumah should be
a patur.
Right. Rabbi Yehuda's thing is not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda's problem is that he can't fit into the Mishnah because the statement makes it impossible for him to fit into the Mishnah. He says that mivayesh
is... Rabbi Yehuda's meaning in the
Braise, right. He says sumah and loboshet, basically, which is a problem. Alright. Sarabanan, Baisho Arom, Chayav. So he says, if he embarrasses him when he's naked, he's Chayav. They don't know Baisho Arom, the Baisho Levush. That obviously, if you embarrass someone who's naked versus someone who's dressed, there's a difference. Baisho the Beit Merchat, Chayav. If you embarrass him when he's in the Beit Merchat, he's Chayav. They don't know Baisho Beit Merchat, the Baisho Beshuk. Much difference in embarrassing someone when they're in the bathhouse than when they're in the Shuk. So Amar, Tosfos points out over here, the Gemara is now going to say, how do you embarrass somebody who's a room if he's already naked? I mean, how do you take off his clothing? The embarrassment here we're discussing is taking off clothing. So how do you embarrass him if he's already naked? He doesn't have any clothing on. Or how do you embarrass him in the Beit HaMerchatz if you get undressed to go into the bathhouse? How do you embarrass him by undressing him? The Gemara is going to, Gemara really could have asked the question so this is on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah also talks about a case from the Vayesh at Arum. But when the Mishnah is unclear that we're talking about clothing, right? All it says is the Vayesh at Arum makes the general statement. In the Braisa here that we just quoted, the Braisa seems to differentiate between, right, Baisho Arum and the Baisho Lavush. Right, which is indicate that if he was totally dressed and he took it off, versus when he's at Rome and he took it off. So it seems to me that now we're talking about clothing. Clothing is the issue. So how do you deal with clothing when he's already naked? Or how do you deal with clothing if he's already in the bathhouse? And that's the question of the Gemara. Amar, Baisho Arum Chayav, Arum Bar Boshetu. How can you embarrass someone who is naked? Rashi says, Arum is not a Bar Boshetu. Since he doesn't care about walking around naked in society, what else could be worse? I mean, what other boshet could you impose on such an individual? Tosfos disagrees and says that's not the boshet we're discussing here. Talking about the boshet, again, you could, you know, even if our boshet, you could spit in his face, you could hit him on the cheek, you know, you could do things that would embarrass him. So again, the idea here is about taking clothing off, and that's what Tosfos says, that's what the Gemara is after here. How do we have a case of a room where he took his clothing off? So I'm Rapapa, my room. What's the case of a room here? The Atazika, Karechinu Lomane. A wind came and kind of folded up his clothing and pulled up his clothing. And you come along and pull him down further, in that you extend the damage that the wind do, ubaitshay. So that's the case. Baishu b'merchatz. What's the case in Beit HaMerchatz? Again, chayab, Beit HaMerchatz, barboshetu. Again, in the Beit HaMerchatz, how are you a barboshet? So those Rashi is going to have to squint out because you're standing there naked anyway. What else could be left to be naked? It could be embarrassing. Again, don't point that. Just being naked is not necessarily the all be all and end all being embarrassed. There are other things that you can embarrass from even when they're naked. So Tosfos again is explaining this about clothing. Amar Papa Shabaishoa Gavanar, that it was by the river. I mean, it's a case not when he's in the bathhouse where everybody's getting undressed, and therefore it's not an embarrassing situation, but rather he's on the river and he's about to go in to wash in the river. If you pull off his clothing then, right, that is an embarrassing situation because people tend to do that in a tanua manner, and now you're making it so that he's exposed earlier than he would have liked. Okay, by Rabbi Abba Marmarmo, Baisho Yashin Umay. Mao, it's amazing, great question, amazing question. What happens if you embarrass him when he's sleeping? Our mission says if you embarrass someone who's sleeping, he's entitled to compensation for that embarrassment. What happens if he dies before he wakes up? He dies in his sleep. Do you have to compensate him for the bullshit? Why? Mikey Bayu Bale, what's the question here? Amar Abzid, Rav Zitzin explained the question one way, and we'll see that Rav Papa comes back and explains it a different way. Zitzin, that is the question. Achim Bayle, Mishum Kitsupaho? Is the whole issue about embarrassment. Now, embarrassment only has to do with self-awareness, right? When the person wakes up, he understands that someone else embarrassed him, right? Then that's when he feels that sense of embarrassment. So if he never wakes up, he never gets up, there was never any embarrassment because it's all about self-consciousness, self-awareness. It's the denigration of the individual that you're compensating for. And you did denigrate this individual. Even though he never wakes up again, you did denigrate him in the face of others. And therefore, there is, right, a problem of bullshit. I mean, that embarrassing other people, I think in the Lashon Hara, has two aspects to it, right? One is that the individual himself suffered the embarrassment. The other is that in the eyes of others, right, you've actually denigrated or diminished their value. So those two aspects, right, which of those two aspects are we focused on in compensation for bullshit? Is it the embarrassment of the individual or the denigration in front of others? So Tashma, Rabbi Meir Omer, Cheresh v'Katan yesh lahem bullshit. A cheresh, someone's deaf, and a katan have boshet. Shoteh in lo boshet. Someone who is a shoteh, right, here it means out of mind, right, he's not a sound mind, he doesn't have boshet. Iyamat bishlamah mishum ziluta, right, if he's talking about ziluta, denigration of the individual, I know katan is katan. That's how you can explain that katan has boshet. Eliyamat mishum kisufa, katan bar boshet too. Then about embarrassment, katanim don't have boshet. Elamai, so now what you can say, mishum ziluta, it's about denigration. Afilu shoteh nami. Then it's all about the denigration of the individual, that even if Shotei, even though he's not aware that he's being embarrassed, you're still denigrating him. Mar says, Imre, Shotei in the Chaboshet Gdolah Mizu. There's no bigger form of denigration than a person who's out of mind, right? He's not a sound mind, and therefore you can't extend his boshet any further. Mikomakom, Nifshot Mina, the Mishum Ziluto. So from this statement over here, from this verse of Rabbi Meir, we can prove that it has to do with denigration and not about embarrassment. Since when is a katan bar kisufa? Kedamer Rav Papa, this is the statement of Rav Papa we quoted before. If you remind him of an embarrassing event and he's embarrassed, you see that he can be embarrassed. Yeah, we have a case by katan and the bar boshet that he's of an age where if you mention to him something embarrassing, he will be embarrassed about it. Rav Papa Amar Achi coming by Lei. Rav Papa says no. So Rav Papa rejected the question of Rav Zid. Now we're going to see, and also his answer is proof from Ibn Meir. Now what is the question? Vishum kitsufa di behu. Is it because his personal embarrassment? Vahai maitle and he died. Or then vishum boshet mishpacha. Not. It's a boshet. It's not simply that you've embarrassed this individual, but you've also embarrassed his entire family. Because by denigrating this individual, it also has an impact, a reflection on his entire family. So if we talk about the individual himself, he's dead, so there's nothing to talk about. But right then, his family's still around, and that bullshit, that embarrassment that you, or denigration that you provide to this individual, affects his family as well. Tashma. So now we're going to bring this right again.
We never remember
you paid bullshit to the family. No, but the bullshit is not only, again, this idea of bullshit, that you embarrass the individual, there are many aspects of the embarrassment. There's an aspect of it which is the individual himself is embarrassed. But there's also an aspect of it which affects other people. Now, when you compensate for
the
bullshit,
the other thing is that he's degraded in the eyes of others, but that's whether he was aware of it or not. He's still degraded, but it's still him. And he's in his say that his family's embarrassed.
No, that the embarrassment of this individual affects his family. So because of that, you can't say just because he died, there was no impact of your bullshit. Right? Yeah, but it's your shim will get it. It sounds like that it's your shim will get it. Not to say people were embarrassed from his family get it. That he gets the boshet that is associated with his family. Tashma, cheresh v'katan yesh lo boshet, shotein lo boshet. Yomar b'shlomo mishum boshet mishpacha anu d'tani katan. That's how you can explain katan. Yomar b'shum kisufa d'idei, but that man's personal man, katan bar boshet, oh. Elamai mishum boshet b'nei mishpacha, but that boshet b'nei mishpacha, v'lo shotein nami. Shotein l'chad boshet b'gola mizu. Same answer. The shotein is already at the lowest form of denigration. It can't affect the family anymore. And when you're compensating for boshet, it has to do with how this individual now is, right, affected. You were embarrassing him and his whole family. It's more than just him. Right? The E, Mishum Kisufa Katan, Bar Kisufa, Vidana Kisufa, Katan, Bar Kisufa, Rapapa, In. This is where the statement of Rapapa comes up. The Michlumei, U Michlam. That Katan can be Bar Boshet. We have no proof from that, Brisa. Vatanya, Hatanya bin Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Cheresh Yesh Lo Boshet. Shayta ain't no boshet. Cheresh has boshet. A shote does not have boshet. Katan. Pamim yeshlo. Pamim ain't lo. Sometimes the katan has boshet. Sometimes he has not. Now this next statement, according to the Masoret HaShas, he quotes here that this next statement is Rav Papa's interjection into the Braisa, or explanation of the Braisa. This is not part of the Braisa, but rather Rav Papa's explanation of when is it Pamim a katan is and a Pamim a katan not. Ha, the Mechlim ulei o Mechlam. Ha, the Mechlim ulei o Mechlam. This is what David asked before. What do you mean? So, then a katan is a bar boshet. No, that is the threshold. Where is the threshold for understanding when a katan is a bar boshet? Not if you tell him over something that was an embarrassing event, and he's embarrassed by that, then a katan is a bar boshet. If you tell him over something embarrassing, it doesn't seem to affect him, or it doesn't have any impact on him, then he's not a katan, he's not a bar boshet. So katan is not one category. Katan has a threshold above which he will be a bar boshet, and below which he will not be bar boshet. So you can have circumstances in which a katan is a bar boshet, you can have circumstances where a katan is not a bar boshet. And that's what the Gemara has been quoting all along. All these cases where we say katan is a bar boshet do. Right? That's quoting this statement of Rav Papa, the Mechlim Olei Mechlim, right? That if you tell him an embarrassing event, he will be embarrassed. So that's the threshold above which a katan is a bar boshet. No, we don't know. We have no proof now because we don't have a proof from that bright. The bright, so we can explain a katan in a regular case of boshet. So we can't explain it as being boshet. We don't have to say it's boshet mishpacha because we explained it as a katan himself was a bar boshet. If we do that, then you can't prove it either way.
But if you said the pshat in the bright, I don't know what you know.
Either way, you can't say. You know,
no,
proof,
yeah. So we see that only just mechlam, not mechlam, no boshet mishpacha.
Right. No, not no boshet mishpacha. Just you can't prove anything from the brayta. So there is boshet. There is personal boshet.
Right. No, but even the fact is, the brayta really says those words mechlam namrim. Why the brayta say even if there's no mechlam, there's boshet mishpacha. So it's even.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Even if there's no boshet mishpacha, if
you really say that the brayta has understood it, why the brayta gives the mechlam namrim?
Oh, no, even if the brayta.
That's true by a katan.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say. Then.
But
there's no boshet mishpacha by a katan.
Even if
Just because you said that there's no version of Shabbat, but maybe for someone who's sleeping,
I hear it. It's an interesting idea. But it's part of the Brisa, though.
And then
the fact that the Brisa brought this as the explanation and doesn't use Loshen Mishpacha as proof.
It's a riot.
No, but it's a riot that's a Republican position that a cousin can be a bar boshet. Not that.
Right. If you say that, then that's right.
Okay, it makes that statement very good. Vayishet the tumah. So our mission says, if you embarrass the tumah, you are a chayav in this case because he is a bar boshet. Matnita to look Rabbi Yehuda. Here, that's what you're asking, Michal. Our mission is not Rabbi Yehuda. But the time Rabbi Yehuda Amer, tumah ain't no boshet. Tumah has no boshet. וכך היה רבי יהודה פוטר מחייבי גלות, גליות, ומחייבי מלכיות, ומחייבי מיתות בית דין. That is Suma, right? In the Boshet, he's not chayav in all these issues. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda? Gomar, Einecha me'idim zomimim. Then they Einecha, they're Shavah from Eidim zomimim. Mahatam sumim lo. Just like what it says, Einecha by sumim lo. Achacha sumim lo. So too over here, sumim are not included under the category, are not included under the category of boshet. Right? So now when we're talking about here, Lok Rabbi Yehuda, that not like our Mishnah, which says that hamivayeshet the suma, someone embarrasses the suma as chayav, and Rabbi Yehuda says patur, but rather here a suma who is mivayesh, suma himself that embarrasses others is patur, as we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda's position is both ways. The Gemara is discussing over here, Rabbi Yehuda's position that a Summa that embarrasses others is Patur. What's the source for the fact that when a Summa embarrasses others, right, that you're Patur? That is the Gezerah Shava of Einecha Einecha. Because the Pasuk says, Lo Tochot in Chalav, that you should not have mercy on them, right, which is talking about the Edom Zomamin. But Boshinami, it says, V'katato et Kapa, Lo Tochot Einecha. Again, you cut off her hand for when she grabbed the Mibushav, you cut off her hand, right? Lo tochot einecha. So that einecha einecha seems just like a suma is patur by edim zomimim because he's unable to testify, all right? He's unable to be an aid. So he can't be qualified, he can't be chayav by edim zomimim. So it's over here by boshet, right? He is also not chayav, he embarrasses others. So now, what about the other items that he mentioned in the Mishnah? So he says, well, Rabbi Meir Omer, they're both, let's skip something. Mahatam Suma Avloa, Kam Suma Avloa. Mechaibi Galiot. How do you know that Mechaibi Galiot is Patur from going to Galut?
But just explain that Gemara by saying is the embarrassment he causes out, not the embarrassment
he receives, right. Correct. We're talking about that he's embarrassing others. Right. So now, because otherwise, what's Einef? Einef is talking about the Suma himself that's executing on something. He's either being an Eidzoman, or he's now being Mevayesh to someone else. The Tanya, now what about Galiot? The Tanya, below Ra'ot, Prat, the Suma. Right? So it says below Ra'ot that he did not see. Right, prat the suma, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Meir Omer, there are both at the suma. Comes to include the suma. What's that? My time to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lechashi yavot reyo bayarlach kovetim. Comes into the forest to cut wood. Bafibu suma. Sounds like anybody comes into the forest to cut wood, it's me chayav galut. Kot of rachmana below ra'ot that he didn't see. The melute that comes to amiot. Below ra'ot means that he didn't see now, but he sees in other instances. Who's that? That excludes a suma. Meir kot of rachmana below ra'ot. The melute the kot of rachmana bevlidat the melute. Says Laura Oath, right? Sounds like you could see other words. And then he says, believe that he didn't know about it. That also a miyut. Have a miyut achar miyut. Ve miyut achar miyut. Double rabo. There's two miyutim, which comes to me, Merabeh. And that's Merabeh, Suma, according to Rabbi Meir. Vaha, Rabbi Yehuda, how believe that? Prata mitkaveen hu ta'ata. Yehuda says that believe that comes to teach you that you have to be mitkaveen. If you're not mitkaveen, you're not chayev galut. So now,
what's the rationale of that, you know, miyut achar miyut?
Tosfos asks you a question. He says, "I don't understand."
Just say nothing.
Exactly. Tosfos says that Rashaf, I don't understand. Miyatachamidno, it's El the Rabbos. Riboy Achor, Riboy El Mai. Just leave it out, and you'll never have a problem. You don't need it. Tosfos asks you a question, leaves it therapy, and doesn't answer it. Sorry. Chayve mitos beisin. What about chayve mitos beisin? Actually, roteach roteach mechayve galut. We'll have a zera shava of roteach roteach from chayve galut. We just said it's patur because it says lo tichu kol for the nefesh roteach. And by galut it says the new shama roteach. Those two psukim use the roteach, one in galut, one in killing, actual killing. Therefore, you patur. Chayve malchios atu rasha mechayve mitzvot beizin. And so chayve malchios will learn how to rasha zera shava from chayve mitzvot beizin because it says im bin hakota rasha, and that's by malchios. And by a few mitzvot beizin it says who asher who rasha lamut. So again, Rasha, in all these cases, the Sumat Patur. So according to Yehuda, the Sumat will be Patur from Malchios, he'll be Patur from Galus, he'll be Patur from the death penalty, and he'll also be Patur if he embarrasses other people. The Sumat is Patur across the board, and here he brings a, right, he brings proof to that, and brings proof to that. So all these cases of Suma in La Boshet, and what we're speaking about over here is that Suma is Mevayesh, other than he is Patur, whereas a Mevayesh at the Suma is Chayav. Right, because we know that Rabbi Yehuda was Modeh, or at least we said before that Rabbi Yehuda was Modeh, that a Suma, who, someone who's Mevayesh, Suma is a Bar Boshet. Right, the fact is that he is a Bar Boshet. Now, it doesn't mean that he could be our author of our Mishnah, but Rabbi Yehuda says that a Mevayesh, the Suma is Mevayesh, Patur, but one who's Mevayesh, the Suma is Chayav. That was the deal we made before in Rabbi Yehuda's statement, and that stands true over here as well. Okay, I think we'll stop over here. We'll continue Rabbi Yehuda's position tomorrow.